Resolutions are made to be remade over and over again. Hey, great to be with you, John. Happy New Year. It was a great year last year. Your show just does so much good. Love listening to it and love listening to the podcast, especially the one with Ashley Neronia from Rome. She gives that Rome report each week. And then the one with Harry Kramer comes on monthly and the one with Dave Duran. So lots of good stuff going on there. But you're right. Beginning of the year. And everybody's sort of in a positive mood, looking forward to the new year. We just had a great year last year, and people talk about New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking about that today because over the weekend I had a chance to do some travel. I was going through the airport, and all the airports, you see Christmas decorations. In Newark International Airport, you see Christmas trees and Christmas gifts. In O'Hare, you see all these beautiful lights and Christmas ornaments. And even though they aren't quite out there saying Merry Christmas, we all know what it's about. You know, the lights of the season, a reminder that Christ the light came into the world years ago, and it gives everybody hope, and people love this Christmas season. We're still in the Christmas season up until Sunday, which is the baptism of the Lord. But I was thinking about this topic of New Year's resolutions. I want to encourage all of our audience, everybody listening right now, and no matter how many times you've made resolutions before, let's make them again. All right, we never give up. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is your best. That's what Sister James Niece taught us in second grade. And it really reflects the hope we have in Christ. And as I was thinking about this, John, what came to my mind are those famous words from a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. And actually made a song of this, a popular song of this in the 60s, that the song of Turn, Turn, Turn. For every season, there is a time. There's an appointed time for everything. And time for every affair under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot the plant, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh. We live in time. Christ, the Word of God, was born in time. And every year on January 1st, we begin a new calendar year because the Earth has completed its orbit around the sun, and we count time, and we say, well, let's recalculate the clock and recalibrate things, and let's begin again. This year it will be better. St. Jose Maria used to say, a new year, a new struggle. And this is kind of a Christian concept in the spiritual life, and it goes back to what Jesus said during the time of John the Baptist, that the kingdom of heaven, since the beginning of the world, has been enduring assault, and the violent take it by storm, which is sort of a striking choice of words about getting into heaven. The violent take it by storm. What does that mean? It means you don't just roll out of bed and into heaven. It's not like rolling off a log. We have to make an effort. We have to cooperate with God's grace. And yes, the Christian life is a life of struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. And a struggle against what? A struggle against who? A struggle against ourself, not a struggle against others. Many times people think all the problems of the world are because of other people, but you can't change other people. You can only change yourself, and you can only try to change yourself. And so the struggle we partake in as Christians is the struggle against self. And along with that, understand that you can only change yourself. Happiness in life is a choice. You can choose to be miserable or you can choose to be happy. And I think we choose to be happy when we become much more mindful of the blessings that we have in our life. You know, so many people out there can't see. Well, you know, many of listening right now, you can see. Or you're driving a car, you can see. You can drive a car, you can walk, you can talk, you can choose what you have to eat. We live in a country with many great freedoms or many, many blessings. And so I think as we begin the new year, it's good to know what we have to struggle against to be more like Christ, because that's the whole point of our life, to know Christ, to love Christ, to imitate Christ. So we get to the point that people say, well, that was a very Christian thing to do. That was a very Christian thing to say. You're like Christ. That's the whole point. And it helps, I think, to know that the church understands the human psyche. And from the early times of the church, we've been made aware that there is sin in the world, rebellion against God. And it takes many forms, and we call these the capital sins. Have you ever heard of that phrase, John, the capital sins? There's seven capital sins. And I remember it with the mnemonic device, plegas, P-L-E-A-G-A-S. P for pride, L for lust, E for envy, A for avarice, G for gluttony, A for anger, S for sloth, which is laziness. So these are the capital sins. We all have them. And this is what we have to fight against, not against other people, not against other beliefs, not against other customs. We have to fight against the things in ourselves that lead us away from Christ. So pride is the worst of all sins. And pride is, you know, we're going to show off. Nobody's going to tell us how to do. I've got the best ideas. I can figure it out. I don't need to obey anyone. I don't need anybody's help. Right? That's sort of the independent mentality of pride. And the remedy for pride is humility. And that's something to ask God for. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and I was asked to give the blessing at the beginning of the meal, and it occurred to me, well, the newlywed couple, they've only been married a couple hours, but there's probably a lot of people here who have been married for quite some time. In fact, there was one couple that had been married 61 years there at the wedding reception, and a couple other couples have been married for 50 years. So I asked them to join me in giving the blessing to the new couple, because they said, you guys know a lot more about marriage and love than I do. But one thing I have noticed, those who are happily married are humble people. If you're not humble, you're not going to be happy in marriage. You tell this to people married a long time, and they nod their head in agreement. Yep, it takes a lot of humility to be happily married and stay married. You know, because in marriage, the only four-letter word, the worst four-letter word is the word mine. You know, use the word mine in marriage, and things really kind of fall apart. It's got to be ours. It's got to be ours. So anyway, the remedy for pride is humility. The remedy for lust is chastity. And I think we have to speak a lot more about chastity to educate people about this. We don't have to talk about the sins against chastity and all the different, let's say, sexual issues out there and orientation issues and all that. You know, let's put a more positive spin on that and let people know about the blessings of the virtue of chastity, which brings with it self-control. And with that self-control, there's joy, there's freedom, there's happiness. And if there isn't self-control, then we become slaves to ourselves. And again, that's what we have to fight against. We have to fight against ourselves. So pride, lust, envy is the third capital sin. And it makes people sad. It makes them, it can even lead to violence. And the remedy for envy is gratitude. You know, be very grateful for the gifts we have. And then we have avarice, which is the fourth capital sin. And the remedy for avarice is generosity. And I really have to take my hat off to all of our listeners and our donors who are extraordinarily generous in supporting the work of Relevant Radio and the mission of Relevant Radio. I mean, it's stunning to see the generosity and support of our listeners. They're really, really enthusiastic about what we're doing, about our programs, about our message, about the Rosary across America, about the Divine Mercy Chapel, about the Memorare every hour for an end to abortion, about all the great guests and topics we have. And I got to say, you know, I don't think we'd find one avaricious person among our listeners and donors out there. Moving down those capital sins, gluttony, that's a hard one, especially at Christmas time. You know, there's so many good things to eat, so many opportunities, and we're social, and there's parties, and there's dinners and all that. But the remedy for gluttony is mortification, which means to make a little sacrifice. So at meals, eat a little less of what you like, maybe a little more of what you don't like, or try to leave the dinner table or breakfast table a little bit hungry, not totally satisfied. And that way, you know, your soul has the upper hand on the body. And the last two capital sins are anger and sloth, right? Laziness. And that's really the place we have to fight first against our laziness, to get out of bed on time, to go to bed on time, to finish our work, not allow ourselves to get distracted out of the things which seem more interesting or more satisfying and all the rest. And that takes real discipline. So when we make our New Year's resolutions, what I suggest is this first take place. People have to reflect on their own life and be honest with themselves in the presence of God and ask our Lord, what do you want me to improve on? What do I need to change? And usually our Lord whispers something in your ear. And I like to suggest to people for New Year's resolutions, they need to be real clear, very concrete, no more than three. No more than three resolutions, one for God, one for others, and one for yourself. And usually the God resolution is to spend some time in prayer every day. I know that was our mission goal at Relevant Radio last year for 2019. It's going to be our mission goal this year, 2020. We want to encourage every one of our associates, those who work for us, all of our volunteers, all of our listeners, all of our donors, to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament every day. Even if it's just 30 seconds, make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament every day. Recognize the centrality of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, the centrality of Christ in the history of the world, and the centrality of Christ in your own life. So that would be great resolutions for 2020. Make another resolution in terms of others. If you're married and you've got children, let me encourage you to have family dinner more times a week than less times a week. So aim to have family dinner 4 times a week where you're sitting at a table looking at each other, talking to each other without the TV on, without the phone out. You know, Pope Francis is saying, hey, when you sit down to meal, put those phones away. Talk to each other. And I want to encourage all of our families and listeners out there to figure out. Now, some of the folks out there, you know, there are these top flight consultants who have to fly all over the country every week. You can Skype yourself into dinner. Did you know that? You can put your laptop there at the head of the table and Skype yourself in. Or a new one I discovered, John, is called Zoom. Have you heard Zoom? It's really easy. It's a great video conferencing thing. But, you know, that would be a great resolution of how to improve this year in terms of relationships with them. And then a resolution for yourself. It could be in terms of your own health, which is always a good thing, because the soul and the body work together. Or it could be a resolution in your own spiritual life or intellectual pursuits. But what I would say, whatever your resolutions are, make them concrete, make them reasonable, you know, something that you can achieve, and then write them down on a piece of paper and look at them every day. Look at them every day. And don't be discouraged if tomorrow you didn't keep any of the resolutions. We pick ourselves up, we shake off the dirt, we say an act of contrition, we begin again. And I think if we're really focused that way, just the very fact that people are making a spiritual struggle will lead to greater peace and joy in their life. So those are kind of my thoughts on New Year's resolutions, John.